The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Kaldao.
Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the podcast where two dudes from Australia sit and twiddle their thumbs and pine for the mighty Doom Patrol to come back into regular publication.
Yes, my name's Paul Hicks, and you can find me on Twitter at @reading_Hicks, and you can also find the show Gmail at waitingfordoom@gmail.com, and we're also on Facebook, and all our episodes available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com, and we're also part of the Inner Circle Comics group, which have that great intro at the start that sounds a bit like the Naughty Dog from the Crash Bandicoot games, don't you reckon?
I can't remember. That must have been before my time. I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter at @avantgarve. You can also find our sentient show Twitter account, Wilfred, on there, and that's at @WFDpod. Someone else you can also find on Twitter is a gent by the name of @XTOP, also known as Chris Sabella. Welcome back, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, we had to have you on for this specific issue that we're going to get into.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm excited.
How you been, Chris? What's new in your world?
Not too much. You know, everybody is starting to leave Portland to go to San Diego, and I am not. So, yeah, I just got over Con Crud from Heroes Con.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. Like, I've never had con cred before, and I remember specifically at Heroes, like, I remember at one point I was walking around, and it occurred to me, I was like, oh, I've never had con cred. Like, I must have a really good immune system. Like, and I totally jinxed myself. I can't believe I did that. So,
well, there were a lot of really nasty international germs coming into the country at that time.
It's true.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, Mike and Chris met at Heroes Con in the flesh.
Yes, we did. And so. I found a really good way to fight off con crud is to go to Hawaii afterwards and be in the sunlight and the heat. Yeah, that was. So that's probably how I avoided it.
Wow. I'm questioning my own existence because I'm the only person in this podcast that neither of you have met. So.
One day.
All right. So this week on the show, we're going to look at Doom Patrol number 34, which is probably my favorite Doom Patrol issue, if not my favorite comic of all time.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what sort of week in comics have you guys had? Chris?
Not much. I've been trying to get back to work stuff. So I took... What did I read? I read all of Nailbiter. Like, I sat down and just read the whole run. And that was great. That's totally in my wheelhouse. Like, it's got lots of serial killers. and it's got, like, a weird town. And, like, there's some sort of conspiracy going on. Like, it's pushing every button that needs to be pushed.
Josh Williamson.
Josh Williamson. Yeah. So yeah, and I just got the first two trades of Shudder by Joe Keating.
Excellent choice, sir.
So yeah, I've got I'm figuring this week, because all my editors are going to be in San Diego, I'm just going to read and play video games. So I'm going to try it. I think this might be the week that I actually start reading Saga. So
wow,
ooh. Yeah. So someone, it's pretty heady over here. Yeah. I feel bad about it, but I might be able to remedy that this week.
Good.
And what are you writing at the moment?
I just turned in a script for Escape from New York, number 11. So almost getting close to wrapping up our third arc, and I have to start on my fourth issue of Welcome Back, which is my new creator-owned book at Boom. So that's going to require a lot of thinking. And I got, I don't know, I try to have like at least like six or seven things going at any given moment because I get stuck on stuff. So, so yeah, just a buttload of stuff. And I'm going to try and catch up on all that this week too.
I've been admiring the house ads for Welcome Back. I like the way the logo looks like We Come Back with the L in brackets.
Yeah, yeah. That we had a long, like, that was my original title. Like, it's one of the rare times that I've actually like had a good title, like right out of the box. and I stole it from Scientology. Well, I stole part of it from Scientology.
There we go.
From like the C Corps or something. But yeah, then like as soon as Boom like picked up the book, I was like, all right, first thing we have to do is like get rid of this title because it has parentheses in it, and like that's just going to complicate things. And we came up with a new title, and then but we just kept referring to it by Welcome Back. And then eventually we were just like, why are we denying fate? Like, we should just, like, clearly it's the one we've all settled on in our hearts. Mm. So we'll just run with it.
Who's your artist on that one, Chris?
That's Jonathan Brandon Sawyer. And he is going to be super huge in comics. So I feel lucky that I'm getting to work with him before he really blows up. Because he's crazy, crazy good. Like, sort of a, I don't know, like a, he's got kind of a Sean Gordon Murphy vibe to him, but it's a lot more, it feels a lot more human to me. Mm-hmm. But he's like crazy detailed. Yeah, he's, and we finally met for the first time at Heroes. So that was exciting. And we even like shared a room. So fortunately we got along. Otherwise that would have been a really uncomfortable weekend.
But that's a true test of a working relationship when you can share a room like that.
Yeah.
It
wasn't
like the Airboy comic, was it? It wasn't like the Airboy comic.
Oh no, no. It was pretty sedate. Like, but there were like five of us in the room. So,
oh, wow.
You know, like, yeah. Which is sadly, it's like that's a situation I'm getting used to now. Like going to shows is like, how many people can we cram in this room? Like, so we don't have to pay any money. It's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Have you told us the premise of Welcome Back yet?
No, it's all about reincarnation, and the basic concept is that there's been this war that's been going on since the dawn of human consciousness, and basically it's everybody reincarnates, but there's this select segment called sequels, and whenever they reincarnate at a certain age, they wake up and they remember everything, all their past lives, and then they immediately like get to work. So there's a whole hierarchy, but like the main fighters are soldiers, and each soldier has a target, and they're constantly chasing each other life after life, trying to kill each other first, and then whoever the victor is kills themselves and then chases their target into the next life, and it just keeps going and going. So yeah, that's the setup. And our you know, our two main characters are, it's present day, and they're both starting to one of them starting to finally wake up, and the other one is hunting for her. So it's sort of, you know, fun death hijinks. Like, it's a lot more lighthearted than I made it sound. Like, originally, like, it was a super bummer of a book, and fortunately, like, working with Jonathan was really, like, once we started, like, talking about what we wanted to do in the book, like, it sort of helped open it up. And I was like, oh, I can actually do this where it's, like, fun. And it's not just, like, let's read about death for 22 pages every month.
I think you've got to call the first trade Death Hijinks.
It's tempting. I'll write that down in my notebook.
What about you, Mike? What have you been up to? You writing any comics yet?
Yeah, I've pretty much caught up on the majority of the comics I had waiting for me at my store while I was overseas. And I sort of, most of them are now a blur as to what I actually have read. And I know I've got another dozen or so waiting for me still, along with whatever comes out this week. But the highlights were obviously reading the High Crimes trade on one of the flights back home. That was awesome. So thank you, Chris, for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And what was it, the last things I read? Oh, because it's Doom Patrol related, the 52 Aftermath trade. I've had that sitting in my pile for a while, so I finally got to that because the Patrol make an appearance in that. And the second trade of Prophet by Brandon Graham.
Nice.
And that's some far out sci-fi stuff right there. So I think I'll have to read the first and the second one again to get my head around it all. But yeah, that was really cool. But yeah, the rest of it was some of the weekly stuff that DC brought out, like the new Starfire first issue. That was not for me, I guess. I'm glad they're doing a happy, shiny alien princess girl comic, but I don't think I'm the target audience. Whereas the new Dr. Fate, that was cool. That got me intrigued. So, yeah, a bit of a big sponge. So, yeah. How about you, Paul? What have you been catching up on?
I've been listening to a podcast which is called The Unofficial 75th Greatest Marvel Stories. And it was a list that was online, and this podcast, they're covering each book on the list counting down.
Wow.
So they did the Deadpool Killigy, and I had not heard about the Deadpool Killigy, so I got the first trade and read that, and it was Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Which wasn't bad. It does what it says on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but apparently that launches into two more stories, which I've got coming from the library soon. So yeah, bit of gory Deadpool fourth wall breaking everything. So it's it's quite well done. That's by Cullen Bunn. So
I got to meet him at Heroes Con too.
Shut up.
Did I mention I was at Heroes Con? Not sure if I did. Anyway.
Yeah, but that's all from me. Is that a ticking noise?
That's a ticking noise. Okay.
So smoothly done.
So, look, we're masters at this, 24 episodes in, and it's like fine wine, you know? gets better the more we age, or something. Okay. So this week on the Doom Clock, the last book that we had for the Doom Patrol was issue 22 of volume 5 from the Giffen and Matt Clark run. Did I mention I got to meet Matt Clark at Heroes Con? Not sure if I did.
You were at Heroes?
Yeah, I was at Heroes. Were you at Heroes?
Yeah.
Either that or your doppelganger. Yeah. That issue was cover dated July 2011 and went on sale May 4th of that same year. So it's been 4 years and 9 weeks since we last had a Doom Patrol book. The last appearance of the team, however, was in their one panel appearance in the recent JLU 8-page sneak peek, which is still available on Comixology and DCComics.com. And that was 6 weeks ago. So we should be getting to a proper appearance of them soonish, I guess. In Justice League Unlimited. Is it Unlimited or United now?
It's United.
Oh, I was so close.
Unlimited was the cartoon series.
Ah, okay. Cool. But this week in Doom Patrol history, on sale back in 2010, was issue 12 of the Giffen Clark run, which was titled False Front. And in that, we actually learnt who the frontmen of the MSE were working for and who was actually in control of Thea Jost all along.
Big reveal, that one.
Should I spoil it?
No.
No, I won't spoil it.
All right, do it for Chris.
No, I'm conflicted now.
you can tell me after the show.
Okay, I'll tell you after the show. Everyone else, go out and look it up. Issue 12 of Volume 5. It's really cool.
It's in the trade Brotherhood, if you want it.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Pick up the trade Brotherhood, because it was so good. Anyway, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
This week, the three of us are looking at Doom Patrol Volume 2, Number 34, which is titled The Soul of a New Machine, and it was published in July 1990, at least that's what it said on the cover, but if you're in the shop, it would have come out on the 29th of May in 1990, and it cost $1.50. $1.50, wow. Just run through the credits for it. It had the cover artist was Simon Bisley, and I think it's probably one of the most iconic Doom Patrol covers ever. I think. We'll discuss that in a sec.
Yep.
It's written by Grant Morrison, who has disappeared without a trace in recent years. The penciler was Richard Case, who, if you were lucky enough to go to Heroes Con, you might have met.
Did I mention I got to meet Richard Case at Heroes Con really briefly?
Look, I went to the Crookwell Potato Festival and none of you got to go.
Wow. True. I'm kind of jealous, actually.
The inker was John Nyberg, the colorist was Daniel Vozzo, and the letterer was John Workman, and the editor was Art Young, and the executive editor at DC at the time was Dick Giordano. So, great people bringing a great comic to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, now, I think the thing about this comic is it's a done-in-one. It's fair to say it's an absolute farce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when it came out, it really blew my socks off. I thought it was the best comic ever. But it opens with a nice shot of a brain in a nutrient tank with the dials and things, and it's the brain of Cliff Steele, who has been removed from his black robot body. and we turn the page and we get the title, Mind and Body Equal One. And in this, you've got the chief working on the body and basically crapping all over Will Magnus's work because he came up with the body. So he's basically saying what a piece of crap it is and how annoying, and he hasn't got time to do this. And he's just incredibly irritated, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, he's also irritated because he doesn't have any chocolate on him.
Yes.
True.
But he's just calling it tinkering with this piece of garbage and everything. Anyway, he said, there, at least it should be serviceable now. And they leave the room. And, yeah, at this point, Cliff is there and he's isolation, and he's saying, he's thinking to himself how you go through the boredom and then you have the panic and the irritation and then you have the hallucinations and then finally you relax and you can start to enjoy it. And he starts to tell knock-knock jokes to himself. At the same time, though, the body, robot body next to him has awoken.
Yeah.
And it plugs in the speaker so it can speak to Cliff, and it says, I've come to talk. I'm your body.
Yeah. You kind of feel bad for Cliff at this point because you'd kind of be freaking out, A, that someone else is in the room responding to you, and B, that it's your own separate body.
Yeah, and he says, is this some kind of joke? And the body said, no joke, I've just developed consciousness. It's a little embarrassing, and I'm not really sure how it happened. My guess is a faulty responsometer.
Bloody Will Magnus again. And he's shot at work.
They're the things inside the metal men, which make them have these crazy personalities. So it's good that Will Magnus included one of them in this body. Yes, but the body resents the brain, and this sets up one of the big themes of this comic. It was mind versus body, and it decides to drill a hole in the tank and let the fluid drain out, slowly killing Cliff, and then it decides it can have a chat once that starts happening.
Yeah, because that's not threatening at all. You know? I'm going to slowly kill you, but shall we talk? You know.
It does do a nice bit about when your brain dies, will your mind live on? Which is one of the themes of this. You know, what is mind? What is body? You know, do you exist after your mind has died? Do you have a consciousness that carries on? So this robot body has a consciousness and it's very prone to just rash actions. He says he doesn't really care what he's doing one bit.
Mm.
Yeah. Then we cut to two familiar characters from Doom Patrol history, but as you've never seen them before.
No.
So it's the Monsieur Mella, the talking gorilla with the advanced intellect, pushing a pram, and inside the pram is the brain in a little robot pedestal known as the Brain.
Yeah. I love how he's just strolling along, pushing a pram. He's got, you know, straps of bullets and his revolutionary beret and his gun strapped to his back. And he's just strolling along. He doesn't care.
Yes. Are they still in Rhode Island at this point?
I think they are, yeah. Does it look like that? I've got no idea.
It doesn't. It just looks like any American town, basically. Yeah. Well, it doesn't actually look like any American town, but I'm trying to get the chronology straight. Although, actually, yeah, the next issue, I guess, is where they meet Danny. So,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I think when Cliff, when the chief was talking to Joshua earlier, he announced that they were going to be moving soon anyway. So, yeah.
Anyway. Oh, right, right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they start talking and, yeah, the Monsieur Mallard is explaining that he's a rampant beast and he's, you know, driven by his instincts and mindless lusts. And he's saying, you know, that's what Descartes described, the philosopher Descartes. And the brain's going, don't be ridiculous, Mallard. Descartes was nothing but a miserable git who never had a good time in his entire life. Yes, and they rather jollily say hello to a lady who does a great comic book reaction.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, then he talks about where he got his beret from, which was a gift from Fidel Castro, and it was Che Guevara's favorite, which does explain his look since the 80s, I guess.
Just a bit.
Yes, and he says, I have vowed to take my hat off only to the man who bests me in combat or at chess.
And then the brain's tormented, you know, by thoughts of strip chess. And
that, yeah, that might be my favorite moment in the whole book.
Yeah, he's
like, that's such a large leap to make. But yeah, he immediately goes to strip chess.
Yes, I've never played strip chess.
but yeah, it's... For as long as we've been aware of Mallard and the brain's always been about, yeah, you know, world domination and wiping out the patrol. And, you know, what he's really longing for as well on the quiet is strip chess. And, you know, pure mind just isn't enough, Mallard, he says. He says, I long for a body for strip chess, of course. It's like, what the hell?
Why not? Yeah.
And then we the brain does a little monologue about how they came to be where they are and how he found... Mallard as a young, unsophisticated gorilla and brought him in and they had the operation to make him smart. And he originally planned to put his brain in that body, but instead he couldn't. He looked at his eager face and just couldn't do it. So instead they formed the Brotherhood of Evil. And there's a nice little shot of them with Madame Rouge and I think it's Mr. Morden, who became Mr. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Or was he always Mr. Nobody in one way? Well, yeah. He talks about the happy days.
That's the guy who becomes Mr. Nobody?
Yep, yep, in the background.
Wow. Yeah. I never knew that.
And he talks about the happy days of fighting the Doom Patrol and Teen Titans. And what a couple of swells they were, the brain and Monsieur Mallard.
What a couple of pals. I found it interesting when he was talking about wanting to put his brain in Mallard's body, because that actually reminded me of... And I'm going to get the name wrong, of Grunt from John Byrne's run. Because, semi-spoiler warning, that's what happened to Grudge. No.
Uh-huh.
Is it Grudge or Nudge?
It's Nudge.
It's Grunt. Nudge. No, it's Grunt. It's Grunt. I always get those names wrong.
Nudge was the girl, Grunt was the gorilla.
There we go. So, slight spoiler warning, that's what happened with Grudge. And the other spoiler is I still can't say Grunt and Nudge properly. Stupid.
Please
John
give
Byrne
generously to help Mike.
Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, and then the brain says, yes, we've come a long way together, you and I. You may be a rampant animal and an active sensualist, but I can't help thinking that we are made for each other. Anyway, and then they arrive at the Doom Patrol headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
They find the rear entrance and pull the grate out and make their way inside. But yes, with the warning of not to get the brain's his brain overheated, like it's happened before. But they keep mentioning philosophers as they do all this, which is fantastic. And he says, soon you'll no longer be known as the Brain Master. We'll have to find a new name for you. And he said, how about God?
Yes. I also love how when Brain's getting excited about getting this new body, that, you know, he says, I can't wait to see the look on the faces of their enemies, you know, when they see me in my new body. First the Doom Patrol, then the Titans, then the Salvation Army. No mercy. What the hell have they done to him?
Oh, dear. Anyway, back inside, the robot body that used to be Robot Man is explaining that it's rigged itself to explode should anyone attempt to transplant another brain into him. And he said, I'll be free, simple. And then Cliff says, there's no need to kill me then, is there? And he explains, I don't think, I just act. The brains are the one who do all the thinking. You ruin it for us bodies. And he says, I'm going to live. And then he starts dancing. I'm going to sing and dance myself dizzy. And then he says, I want everything I've ever seen in the movies. It's just awesome. Yes. And then Cliff tries to trick him with a knock-knock joke and to try and get him to engage in something mental. When the job gets taken out of hand by the door exploding and Monsieur Mallard and the brain bursting in. And I love the art changes to all action scenes at this. It's all, yes, action angles and
all the speed lines as they're all jumping, yeah, around, and as Mallard's throwing the brain at Cliff's brain, and they crash together, and the brain is saying, Robot Man, it's you, isn't it? Hated enemy, at last we are face to face in open combat. It's like they're two brains in jars.
Lying next to each other, they're not even interacting. Meanwhile, Mallard and the robot body are having a massive fight.
Mm.
It's all sound effects and angles, and eventually Mallard subdues the robot body and straps it down, knocks it unconscious. The body tries to explain about the booby traps that it's rigged. It gets knocked unconscious. How do you knock a robot body unconscious?
Look, I think that's one of many questions the Doom Patrol has given us over the years. So. Look, I know, comic book science, that's how.
That's worked for us so well.
Yeah.
Yes, and then we see that the brain is now inside the black robot body, and he's waking up. Mala says, you look very handsome, Master. And then they just have a panel staring at each other. An awkward panel.
Very awkward.
They look away. And they start to get on with things, and then they stop, and says, the brain says, let's stop pretending, Mala. All these years, we've worked together, lived together, and I can't lie to you any longer. I love you, Mala.
This was just so unexpected. It just... it was... I remember reading this for the first time. I was just speechless. And it's having a similar effect on me now.
I would... love to know. I mean, this was really the first time I'd seen them properly in a comic, and I would love to know what it was like to be, you know, fans of Monsieur Mallard and the Brain since the 60s and to read this. Just be appalled or horrified that they did this to these characters. He said, we mustn't be ashamed of these feelings. Kiss me, Mallard.
But first, please take that gum out of your mouth, Mallard. Because there's nothing worse, you know. Yeah.
And Mallard takes the gum out, and then they kiss, and then the robot body explodes, and the tattered beret flies through the air and lands on top of Cliff's tank. And Cliff pleads, "Can someone please tell me what's going on out there? Someone, anyone?" And then he decides to tell himself knock knock jokes, and poor it zooms. It zooms in again to almost the same shot from the start of the comic, except we can see that Mallard stuck his chewing gum over the hole in the tank, saving Cliff.
I missed that before.
Have you?
What? Even... How could you miss that?
Oh, wow. Because I speed read it before we started tonight, but yeah, I'd forgotten that even happened.
And the caption box asks the question, does the body rule the mind or does the mind rule the body? Which is the same question that was at the start, which is also the lyric from a Smith song.
Ooh, we might have some Smith music at the end of this episode then.
It's the Christopher Sabella traditional Smith song.
At last. I've been waiting for a tradition like that.
So what do we think of this issue?
I love this issue. This is actually the very first Doom Patrol issue I ever read.
I remember you saying that last time, Chris, that, yeah, this was your first experience with them. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was I still remember, like, reading it on a motel bed in North Carolina and being like, what the hell is this? Like, I had bought that, and then, like, I think I had, like, a couple, like, maybe one or two arcs. But, yeah, that was my introduction. And so, yeah, I'm always, like, very fond of it. I had no idea who, like, any of the characters, like, I'd never read Doom Patrol before, so I didn't know who. But, yeah, it's remarkably, like, easy for anybody to, like, kind of just fall right into the rhythm of it. And, yeah, it's, like, the rare, like, sort of completely funny Doom Patrol issues. I mean, there's, like, this one and the Beard Hunter, and I think that's about it for, like, straight comedy. So, yeah, I always have a special spot in my heart for this one.
They are the funniest issues of Doom Patrol, and I think, I mean, I liked the Doom Patrol when I was reading it, but this was the issue that made me just adore it.
Right.
It's so good. And it's full of so many funny little bits, like when they about to move into the headquarters, he pushes the stroller out of the way and says, I'll just hide the brainmobile here. it's so funny. What about you, Mike?
You guys have already said it all, but yeah, it's one of the best issues of the Morrison case run, full stop. It's so much fun and so insane, and just, and because I think when I read this, I had an idea as to who most of the characters were, and to see Mala and the Brain finally admit their feelings for one another was just, what the hell? That was like, where did that come from? And you kind of, when you read back, you kind of think, okay, they've been together for quite some time, so it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility that they'll hook up, you know? But to see it happen, it was like, wow, okay, good for them. Oh, they're dead. who said true love never hurts, you know?
I love in the flashback that the Brain says, an empire crime such as I dreamed of back in the old school when the other children used to laugh at me because I was a brain in a tank. It's implying that he's been like that all his life.
Yeah.
I just love the thought that that's how he was at the start. Oh, dear.
Mm. Yeah, it's a brilliant issue. It's just so... Yeah, it's funny and it's insane, and it has the revealed romance at the end, and it's just fucking brilliant. Doom Patrol, pardon my language.
Sorry, and I think it's excited. One of the, like... I really like all the Chief stuff in this a lot. Like,
yes.
Like he just really like lets loose with the Chief in this one, and it's kind of nice considering what happens later. Like, but yeah, that he's just like totally bagging on Dr. Magnus the entire time, and poor Joshua like always has to just like stand there and like listen to the Chief just rant and rave and just like. Like, Joshua, I think, has, like, two lines of dialogue in the whole, like, four pages. Something like poor that, Joshua, yeah. Too.
Yeah. As a fan, I liked the black body. So, I when it was introduced, I went, oh, that's really cool. We're going to have this moving forward. Nah, we're going to have it for four issues.
Yeah, looking at Josh's dialogue, I believe... he's got two lines to say, and one of them is, shouldn't we put Cliff's brain back into the body? To which the Chief snaps back, later, Joshua, I refuse to perform a delicate operation without chocolate. Such a grumpy old bastard.
Yeah, he really is super irritable in this one.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Fantastic. Now, one thing I noticed, I was looking at the issue today, and there's a letter from Jay Torres... from Montreal, Quebec, which is the same Jay Torres who does comics. Ooh. As an author.
Oh.
So he actually got to write the Doom Patrol in Teen Titans Go comic, the one based on the first run of Teen Titans cartoons. I contacted him about that to confirm if that was him, and he said, yes, it is me. In Teen Titan, I wrote the Doom Patrol in Teen Titans Go number 28, and then he listed all these other appearances, which I didn't know about. And he also wrote the Batman Brave and the Bold comic, which had the Doom Patrol in it. So a long-time Doom Patrol fan. Cool. Who got to write the team on four occasions.
Yeah, pretty so jealous.
Yeah. But he said he might come on the show sometime, which could be cool.
Cool.
If he can put up with us.
Oh, well. We'll see. Good luck to us all.
Yeah. Okay, I think that might be it for Doomsplaining this week. Now it's time for the Mailbag of Doom, and this week we asked everybody, what's your favourite duo in comics? And we heard from Aaron Long, who's Juice005, and he said, Garvey and Hicks. That's a fair non-trolling answer.
Well, I hope it's a non-troll answer. Every other answer he's ever given any show ever has been a troll answer, so...
Yes. Yeah. He likes to mention Crossed at every occasion.
Oh, God. We also heard from Avert Me Chew Talkin at Ostrakos 1. He said Black Canary and Oracle at the beginning of Birds of Prey was his favourite duo.
Yeah, no, they had a great dynamic, those two. That was when Black Canary didn't know who Oracle was, but worked for her. It was a bit like Charlie's Angels sort of deal.
Okay.
Very good stuff. We heard from Ange, Dr. Ange, faithful listener.
Dr. Ange, he's a man.
He is. And he said, if partners, Nightwing and Flamebird from New Krypton, I think, or the original Krypton. Yeah, anyway. And if couple, Mr. Miracle and Big Barda. And then he said, Clark Lois, too big to say, but still managed to say it. So well done.
We also heard from Karthik Kakarala, who said, Katie Rex and I, meaning himself. Now, they've just started a podcast together, and the name escapes me.
I think it's End of the Universe Comics is a good way to find it.
Yeah, there we go. I think it's Katie's previous podcast relaunched with Karthik co-hosting. So check that one out. Yeah.
We heard from Aaron Long again, who actually had time to think about it and then came up with a real answer for once. And this is a first, history being made right here. And he said, my 100% legit, no trolling answer is Doom and Valeria.
So his previous answer was a troll.
Yeah, well, I preferred his previous answer.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. I'm ignoring the second answer from him. We heard from Dean Buckley at Sublime Insomnia, who said Renee Montoya and Crispus Allen.
Gotham Central stars.
Yeah.
They were good. We heard from Karthik Kakarala. It's double answers from people. And he said Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne as Batman and Robin, which was around just before Flashpoint when that was all happening. That was after Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin. That was a good run. Yeah. That had the Black Mirror in it.
We heard from alias Saul Bishop at Arch Enemy Comics, and he said Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, and that mini was so much fun.
Cool. We heard from Moby1, who's at Moby1, and he said, going to go with O'Neill Adams era Green Lantern, Green Arrow, which is the hard traveling hero stuff, I believe. And he's also pretty partial to Archer and Armstrong, which I have never read.
Nor have I. I know they're from the Valiant universe, but
yeah, so
not read. Aaron Myers, at Aaron Myers, he said, is it safe to say that X-Top, Chris Sabella, is the third chair of this show? Also, his answer is Cloak and Dagger for Marvel and Knight and Squire for DC.
Are you the third chair, Chris?
I'll take it, yeah.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Come on, let me in.
We heard from Bobgar Ornelas, who's at Slurmo, and he said Constantine and Chaz from Hellblazer.
Poor old Chaz.
Chaz.
Driving him around everywhere. Steve T-shirt meter at T Park Met. He said, "Old school Power Man and Iron Fist."
The afro with a headband. Sweet Christmas, awesome. We heard from Martin Gray at Mart Gray, and he said, Ma and Pa Kent, they're old, they're young, they're alive, they're dead, adaptable supporting characters who just make me happy.
Oh.
Aww.
We also finally heard from Capitan Frack, and his answer was Mento and Mento.
A rare troll from Frack.
Yeah, now that's a troll answer. Nice try, Frack. Chris, who's your favorite duo in comics?
I don't know. I will say that the Chief and Joshua, I am a fan of those two being thrown together. I'm trying to think of something less kiss-assy. I think it might be the have you guys read Black Hole?
Charles Burns?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's not relevant then.
But if you tell us about it, it might get us to look it up and seek it out.
Oh, you really? Yeah, you should read that. Like, okay. That's in my top five comics of all time. Like,
cool.
So, but yeah, there's a guy who likes to play chess. So we're back on chess, but
strip chess.
It's him and it's well, it does get him sort of sexually excited, but in a different way. But it's him and his buddy. And they live out in the woods. I don't know. There's they have this weird sort of camaraderie right before something really horrible happens to them. Okay. So I always think of them as like my personal Bert and Ernie.
Wow.
That was a comic that one of the gorillas was reading in the last Planet of the Apes movies.
Really? It's true, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
See? If it's good enough for one of those monkeys, it's good enough for you guys.
Get your damn hands off my comic.
What about you, Paul? Who's your favorite duo in comics?
Oh, this is really hard. I really like Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. I think they're great. Mm-hmm. Probably a more considered answer would be The Shade and Brian O'Dare. Is it Brian O'Dare? One of the O'Dares from Starman. Okay. So you've got like a Victorian fop who's a super villain and a really rough cop, modern day cop, and they team up to clean up some messes, and it's very cool. They're a really good contrast, a really good odd couple.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. You should read Starman, everyone.
Right. Starman and Black Hole. Updating my to-read list.
There you go.
Mike.
There are so many choices, but I'm just going to keep it simple, and I'll say Batman and Robin. Just the brooding, you know, sentinel of justice standing in the night all cranky and shit, and then he's brightly coloured, you know, joking around little sidekick, just keeping it light and snappy, and there's something
so
about
which Robin we talking? Which Robin?
Oh, now you've made it even more difficult. I'll say
presumably not the one who got murdered with a crowbar.
No, not Jason Todd. No.
Okay.
Funny you should mention that, because I was talking to a friend at work who knows nothing about comics but knows that, you know, we do this podcast and I'm a big comic nerd, and I was telling her about that phone-in poll that DC Comics ran to determine Jason Todd's fate, and she looked completely horrified. Everyone dialed the number to kill him off. She was like, "Robin died? What?" Yeah. But I'll say Tim Drake. I think Tim Drake was an awesome Robin. So
he's a great Robin.
Yeah, he's up there. He's one of the best.
He's in the top five, definitely.
Yeah. Easily, hands down. So Tim and Bruce, them as Batman and Robin, awesome stuff. Love their adventures. Oh, got there in the end. Whew.
Cool.
Well, on that note, I think we'll sign off for now. It's been great having you back on the show, Chris, talking about an insane issue of Doom Patrol. Insane yet fun. I hope you enjoyed coming back and talking about it with us.
Yeah, I definitely didn't get enough sleep last night, but... like, sleep? So I've sacrificed to be here. I do.
Do you sleep?
Between the hours of like 4 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Wow. Wow, we're keeping you up, aren't we?
We appreciate your sacrifice.
Oh yeah, no, that's, but I don't mind sacrificing for, I quite enjoy this show, so so yeah, anytime you want me on, specifically to talk about Grand Morrison. Yeah.
Cool.
Whenever you get around to doing Flex Mentallo, like
oh yeah.
Like I want to be there.
That's a date, dude. We're there.
Yeah. All right, good.
Cool.
It's on the list. It is on the list.
It's on the list. Okay, so if you want to find us on Twitter, you can check us out and Wilfred out at WFDpod. You can always email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. And we've also got the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And so what have we got coming up next week, Paul?
We're heading back to Volume 1, and we're going to do Issues 96 and 97. So really old stuff. And I'm trying something new this week. We're going to announce the question of the week early, so people can listen to this ep and think about the question of the week.
Wow.
Are you ready to think, everybody? Okay. What comic book grievance do you still feel? So, do I need to explain that question? So what is something that happened in comics that really irritated you and you still smart over it? How about that?
Oh, jeez.
Can I give my answer right now?
Go for it.
The cancellation of a new universe.
Oh.
That thing had legs. It could have gone on for... We could still be reading new universe books if only they didn't screw it up.
Wow.
That's... That's a good call. I like that.
Didn't even have to think about it.
That's how much it stings. It's always there.
That's... Yeah, it's the first time that comics really broke my heart. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So I want to give my answer now, but I can't. I have to wait till next week. So everybody, what comic book grievance do you still feel? That's the question. So let us know on Twitter, or you can all the methods we mentioned before.
Or you can be like me and spend the entire week culling your list down to a single answer. Anyway. Alrighty, guys, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you all next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
I decree today that life is simply taking and not giving. England is mine. It owes me a living. But ask me why, and I'll spit in your eyes.